reading to you from 1 Timothy 5th chapter 17th verse. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the labor is worthy of his wages. Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. My, I wish you people could have been with my wife and I last week. We had three services, one with the women and two with the men, and one service with the gray boys. That's the bad ones. That's the one that's going up for a long time in prison. And I told them about they better put their trust in Jesus and take him with him, because I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a long time in prison. Well, anyway, I believe it was 14 men and women received Christ. And I'm telling you, friends, that just thrills my heart. Oh, I wish more people would go to prison and they could see things that would really encourage them. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 20th verse. 11th chapter of Matthew and the 20th verse. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Then we turn over here to Matthew 25:41, and it says, Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, unto the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, dear friends, listen, we've labeled this hell, what it is all about. Well, let's look over here at 11 again. Get back over here now. See, the gentle Jesus rebuked sinners. Some people speak only of God's love. Some people think that God's love excuses sinners. But Jesus warned sinners of the wrath to come. And I read in Matthew 3:7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, You vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Well, listen, this raises the question about hell and judgment. Can hell really be real? Can a loving God allow sinners to go to hell? And can hell last forever? Well, let me tell you what. The Bible speaks to those who are destined to hell, verse 20 and 21. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Well, woe unto you, he says. I'm telling you, friends, when God says woe unto you, you're in a whole heap of hurt. When God calls you a fool, you're on a whole heap of hurt. On whom were these woes pronounced? Well, on those who do not repent of their sins. I tell the men in prison last Sunday, I said, men, if you prayed that sinner's prayer, and some of you said you've prayed it 30, 40 times, you can only pray the sinner's prayer once. I mean, if you repent, you are born again. If you don't repent, it's only a bunch of silly words. Well, on those who had rejected Christ and his words, on those to whom much light had been given, we are all deserving of hell. Did you know that? We sure are. And I read in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not even one. There is none that understands. There is none who seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. Because by the works of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Dear friends, I want you to know there are so many people really honestly believe that through the law they can get to heaven. Nobody is saved by the law. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. That's what the Bible said. And not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, also it tells us in verse 20 and 21 again, then he began to reproach the cities in which most of the miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. Well, so the Bible tells us that we are all sinners. Christ died to save sinners from hell. Now, let me tell you what. If there is no repentance, there's no salvation. You say, well, what do you mean repentance? Well, it means that you have asked the Lord to forgive you. You've told the Lord that you're sorry. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that's when they got thrown out of the garden. And when you and I were born, we took on the Adamic nature. Now, the only way that that Adamic nature can be eradicated is through the blood of Jesus. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Boy, I tell you, this blood is real. And it can't be washed off. Well, rejecting Christ brings the wrath of God. And I read in here in the Bible reveals the punishment of hell. He said it's more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. More tolerable for Sodom. Well, there is punishments of hell. And friends, listen to me. One of the worst sins, I think, is the sin of the flesh. When a man is unfaithful to his wife or a wife's unfaithful to her husband. Now, degrees of punishment are based on one's opportunity. Chorazin and Bethsaida received and rejected much light. Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom were given less light. And these words of Jesus ruled out annihilation of the lost. I know a lot of people, my friend, that really, honestly, truthfully believe that when they die, that's it. There's no more worry, no more problems, that's it. Oh, dear friends, that's not the truth. That is not the truth. Now, hell is forever. Like we spend eternity in heaven, Those who go to hell will be in hell forever, day and night. All they'll be in flame in that. They'll be tormented in those flames. Now, God did not prepare hell for you and I. He prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, it says in 25:41, and where is 25:41? Let's turn over there. 25:41. Nice stars in the morning. You'd think I'd had that all laid out, wouldn't you? Well, I should have, but here it is. 25:41. And he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, unto the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, it's everlasting. Prepared now. He prepared that for the devil's end. There's a difference in degree, but not in duration. Hell is no Protestant purgatory. Friends, I'm sorry. And I hope if you're a Catholic, you'll understand. But listen, there is no purgatory. They believe, the dear Catholic friends of ours believe that when they die, they will go to purgatory, and the priests and them can pray them out by paying the family. I led a Catholic man to Christ in our family. He died with cancer. His dear wife is still paying the priest to get him out of purgatory. It doesn't exist. This man gave his heart to Christ, and he's in heaven. He ain't no purgatory. There is no purgatory. Well, the devil, the beast, and the false prophets are judged. They are cast into the lake of fire forever. Those who are not in the book of life will join them. Let me ask you this. Where do you plan on spending eternity? It tells us in Isaiah 64:6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like wind take us away. It also tells us in Luke 16, the rich man went to hell, but Lazarus went to heaven. The rich man wanted Lazarus to come dip his finger in water and cool off his tongue. He said, for I am in agony in these flames. Friends, that's Jesus speaking, the one that died on a cross so we could be saved and go to heaven. Now, I don't believe that. Well, whether you believe it or not, are you willing to gamble? Are you willing to gamble eternity on like I told the man in prison the other day, I said, now, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. Either you're going to walk out and say, I don't love him, or I love him. I'm either saved or I'm lost. And you say, well, Cecil, I don't know. Well, I got news for you. If you read the Bible, 1 John 5:18, it says, this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. You may know, he said. No, hope so, not guess so, I plan on it. You can know you're going to heaven. So tonight, if you don't know, the scriptures say you can know. Do you want to know? Or do you just want to gamble and go your separate ways? Now listen, friends, this wonderful Jesus does not make you accept him. You don't have to accept Christ. You can keep going just the way you are right now. But at the end of the Christ's eternity, you will spend eternity in hell. Now that's as simple as that. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than this, having been now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Then we read in Revelation 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the false prophets are also, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and forever. Oh, listen, there are thousands of false prophets on TV and radio. Oh, yes. And what does it boil down to? Money. Now, you know the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:1, he that is oft reproved, harden his neck, shall be destroyed suddenly in that without remedy. Friends, listen. Years ago, when I was a pastor of a church out in Oregon, I heard about this lady who was an alcoholic. She had three little children, and her husband divorced her, and she had no place to go on Thanksgiving, so we invited her and her children to have Thanksgiving with my wife and I. And after dinner, while the children were out playing football with my kids, my wife and I started talking to her about Jesus. Well, she got upset, though tears rolled down her cheek. She was very upset, but she wouldn't say yes to Jesus. Now, two or three weeks later, my wife and I was in town. We paid a visit to her, and we having a cup of coffee. And she said, "Oh, by the way, Cecil, I want you to read this sermon that our pastor preached." And he was a pastor of a huge church in Portland. And did you know what he did, friends? He called Jesus an illegitimate child. He made fun of the Christ on the cross of Calvary. And she laughed, and I said, "Lady, that's blasphemy." And I said, "That's not a laughing matter." I said, "Tell you, Nita, if you don't trust Jesus, you're going to go to a devil's hell." And she laughed again. About a week later or so, I received a phone call from a lady who knew her and said that she was put in the hospital, very sick. Well, I knew what hospital she was in, and I was out in the country, so I called Reverend Tarverstad. He was the chaplain there. And I said, "Reverend Tarverstad, would you go down and see this lady, Anita?" I said, "She's lost." And I said, "I don't know how serious her condition is, but would you go?" And he said, "Sure." So he went down and told her he knew me, and then I invited him to come talk to her. And she said, "Well, I'm not afraid. The doctors will make me well. I'm not a bit afraid of this." Well, okay. So when he finished talking to her, he said, "Well, Anita, would you mind if I'd bow and have a word of prayer?" And she said, "Absolutely not." So as he was praying, when he said amen, he opened his eyes, and Anita was as dead as a doornail. See, she had passed that time where it said, "He that hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So, see, she heard and heard, but she just wanted to give up. You know, the Bible said that the Spirit of God will not always dwell with man whereby man must be saved. Today is the day of salvation. You say, "Well, Cecil, wait a minute. I don't want to reject Christ." Well, all right. The Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you are a sinner. Now, there's only two kinds of sinners, lost sinner and a saved sinner. Now, if you don't know where you're going, then you need to put your trust in Christ. I'll tell you another story. After I got saved there in Seattle, I was a roofing contractor. I did shingles, and this other man did commercial work. He was a good friend of mine. He was only 40 years old. So one day I went up to see him. I said, "Charlie, you know, I'm no longer a drunk." I gave my heart to Jesus. So I started witnessing to him, and Charlie got just a little bit mad. In fact, he got sore at me. So we finished our conversation. And about 2 weeks later, he called me and he said, "Cecil, I got to go up to a town up here, Arlington, and bid a big tar and gravel job. Would you like to go along and help me to measure the roof?" I said, "Sure, I'll be glad." So the minute I got in the car, in the pickup, I began to witness to him about Jesus. And he got mad again. He said, "Listen, Cecil, I'll tell you what. Christianity is for old ladies, little kids, and drunks like you. But not men like me, because I'm as healthy as a horse. I'm 40 years old. I don't drink. I don't smoke." He said, "I'm a good man, and I deserve to go to heaven, and I will go there if that's what I'm supposed to do." Well, I quit witness to him. About a week later, my wife and I went by to see his wife. She was in a wheelchair, a nice little lady, crippled. And we took her in some gospel tracts and gave to her. She wanted to go to church with me and my wife, but Charlie wouldn't let her. So when Charlie came home that afternoon, he said, "Was the Mose over here?" And she said, "Yes." "Well, look at these tracts." He said, I don't want nothing to do with a blankety-blank God, a blankety-blank church, and stormed out of the house. He got in his pickup and went. His son owned a service station over on Highway 90, and he pulled into the gas station. His son saw him pull up, so he walked out to greet his dad. His dad opened the door and fell dead on the pavement, deader than a doornail. You see, he that's off reprove, hard in his neck, shall be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. I wonder, dear friends, tonight, are you in that condition? I'm serious. Are you in that condition? You say, boy, I don't know, but you scare me. Listen, I can't scare you into the kingdom of heaven. The only way you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, first of all, is repentance, godly sorrow for your sins, and you're willing to recognize Jesus as the Son of God, the one that went to the cross and died for our sins. Now, I know that God loves you because in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, where do you want to spend eternity? You say, well, Cecil, shoot, if that's the case, I'd kind of like to go to heaven. Well, I hope you more than like, I hope you're willing to bow your head and cry out to God and tell him you're a sinner. Because you are. The Bible said we've all sinned, every one of us. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. All but Jesus. You see, Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins. Now, listen, he was sinless, and yet he took your sins, he took my sins upon him. And he gave up his life. No, the Jews didn't take his life. He gave his life a ransom. And while he was on that cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, at that hour that Jesus was on the cross, God had to turn his back on his son. Why? Because God's a righteous, holy God, and he cannot look upon sin. No, he can't. Well, friends, I want you to know tonight God loves you, but the wrath of God is upon those who reject Christ. That's exactly the truth. You say, well, Cecil, look, I want to be sure I'm going to go to heaven. Okay. You feel a little old tugging at your heart. You're willing to pray the sinner's prayer. And I don't want you to pray it, my friend, if you don't mean it, because you will be in a whole heap of hurt. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask that you forgive me, a sinner, and I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I do want your Son Jesus to live in my heart. And so right now, I'm opening my heart and receiving him as my Savior. And then, Lord, I want to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone? Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down, write, and ask for any money. I'm only concerned, not even where you go to church, but I am concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. And if you can't afford the call, you call me collect, and I'll accept the charge. So I'm waiting for your call right now.
By a heavy
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Hell is not a pleasant subject to preach about. I'd rather preach about the love of God, but I wouldn't be true to the gospel if I didn't preach both sides. God loves you, but the wrath of God appears on those who won't trust His Son. It's as simple as that. I want you to continue to pray for my wife and I. Pray for her health and pray as we go to prisons, that God will anoint us and bless us with souls like He did last week. Oh, we rejoice. I just so thankful that God let me have a little privilege of introducing thousands of men and women to Christ over the year, 25 years in prisons. I really appreciate it. Well, I tell you what, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.